Since the Naked Scientists with Chris Smith and with Helen Scales, this next bit is for you, Corey Wolfs, who says, how do bumblebees fly? People say they shouldn't be able to. Well, Ben and Dave have been checking out the physics to find out how it is that bees get airborne.
We'll be answering a question for this week's experiment, and that's the question, can bees really fly? Now, that might seem a stupid question because we see them buzzing around us all the time, but there's a scientific urban legend that according to the laws of physics, bees can't fly. Dave, what's this about?
Well, the story goes that in the 30s, there was a Swiss aerodynamicist who was having dinner with some biologists, and one of them asked him if he could work out whether a bee ought to be able to fly. So he did some really, really simple calculations. He made all sorts of assumptions, like that the wings, the bee wasn't moving, the wing bee was moving about a metre per second through the air, and he discovered that the bee really shouldn't be able to fly.
So the laws of aerodynamics state that if a bee just sticks its wings out, it'll just drop like a stone.
Yes, basically, the law of aerodynamics say that a bee can't glide. And if you ever watched a bee, it doesn't glide. So actually, the laws of aerodynamics are quite correct. So the bee must be doing something else.
Why is it that a bee can't glide?
It's all to do with fluid dynamics, the way fluids flow, which is an incredibly complicated subject. Very simply, there's one major effect which affects how the flows occur, and that's to do with whether viscosity or the inertia of the fluid is most important. So you've got a very, very viscous fluid like syrup. You move your hand through it, then the flow lines around it all very, very smooth. It's very gloopy and nothing very much exciting happens and your hand moves very slowly. So you've got a really runny fluid like air. If you've got air coming out of a nozzle, the air outside becomes very turbulent, you get lots of swirls all over the place. It's very, very complicated and it keeps on flowing for a long time. And that's when inertia is dominating. Now, in a plane, something big, moving very quickly, inertia of the air is going to dominate completely. Something very, very, very small like a bee, the viscosity starts to dominate, which means that the rules for big planes just don't work anymore.
So for a bee, flying through the air is like us trying to fly an aeroplane through syrup. So what trick do they actually use?
This is why I've brought you down to the river, because I've done a few calculations and I've worked out that a hand moving through water reasonably slowly is going to have a very, very similar fluid flow to a bee's wing moving through air incredibly fast.
So we're going to make our own model of a bee's wing just by sticking our hand in the water. So let's go down to the water's edge. Now, there's an awful lot of willow seeds, fluffy stuff, floating about on the surface of the water. Is this going to make it hard to see what's happening?
Actually, it's perfect, because it means we can see the way the surface of the water is moving, which will give us a much better idea of what's going on.
OK, so using your hand, show me what a bee's wing actually does.
Well, the bee's wing moves, say, from right to left. It's sort of angled, somewhere around 45 degrees. It's curved, it's a lot more complicated than this, but, you know, say, roughly 45 degrees. Moves through the air in one direction, and it rotates round by 90 degrees to 45 degrees in the other direction. It moves back again. And this is very similar to a technique called sculling, which you might have used if you've ever been canoeing to make you go sideways, or actually to push boats along. Things like gondolas use the one big oar at the back, which sculls to push them along, and sometimes keep you up in the water when you're swimming.
Yes, I can see from the fluff on the surface of the water that it's being pushed towards us. Now, if this was a bee's wing, that would be pushing the air down. So that's how it generates its lift.
Well, then I was using very, very long strokes, and actually that's putting it into a regime much closer to a plane or a large bird. But with a bee, the strokes of the wing are actually of a similar size to its breadth.
So in this case, you actually only want to move about the width of your own hand.
That's right. I'll have a go now and go a little bit faster.
Now, clearly you're splashing about quite a bit this time, and a lot more of the water is being pushed towards us. But it's splashing. Doesn't that mean it's turbulent and it's not as efficient?
It's splashing because there's a surface to the water, and if there wasn't a surface to the water, there'd be nowhere for it to splash to. In fact, actually, that splash indicates the pressure is getting very, very high under my hand. What's happening is that when I move my hand from left to right, is you've created a little spinning area of water, a vortex behind it. And when you turn around, you kind of crash into the part of that vortex which is moving upwards. That upward-moving water gives an extra force on the wing, pushing it upwards, and gives the bee a huge amount of extra lift.
So it's not just the fact that the bee's wing is flapping, but it's actually because it catches its own vortex that gives it that extra lift, and that's enough for the bee to be able to easily fly.
I have a feeling that because it's biology, it's probably using all sorts of other tricks, but that's one of the major ones, certainly.
If the inertia is more important with a plane and the viscosity is more important with a bee, what about larger things like birds?
Well, birds actually span this transition between sort of bee-type regime and a plane-type regime. A very, very large bird like a swan, it's basically flying by moving through the air, deflecting the air downwards like a plane does. So swans can glide really quite efficiently, and they're basically flapping their wings just for thrust, moving through the air, and then they're gliding through the air to get the lift.
And what about smaller birds, things like blue tits or hummingbirds? They're tiny.
If you watch something small like a blue tit or a swallow, when they're flying through the air, they don't really glide. In fact, some things like swallows, instead of gliding, they actually almost tuck their wings in behind them. This is because gliding is starting to become very inefficient. So they tend to flap for a bit and then kind of just fall for a bit, then flap for a bit, then fall for a bit. And when you get even smaller to a hummingbird, you're flying basically in the same regime as a bee.
So a hummingbird needs to constantly flap just in order to stay airborne. So there we are, starting with bees, moving up all through the birds and up as big as aeroplanes. This is how sculling your hand in a river can show you about the science of flight. We'll be back with more experiments very soon.
So time down at the river and the laws of physics tell us how bees fly, provided you understand how their wings move through the air, getting an extra lift from the swirl of wind each stroke creates. We'll put pictures and video to illustrate this effect online at thenakedscientist.com/kitchenscience, where you'll also find lots of other experiments to try out at home.
Thank you, Helen. Nat Spirit said in Second Life, where we're also beaming the programme, so bees don't fly, they're effectively swimming in air, which is absolutely right.